Hey, so I came across this really interesting paper that just dropped in NPJ Digital Medicine, and I think it challenges a lot of assumptions we've been making about language models in healthcare. The study's called Clinic Realm, and basically it's asking this question. We've all heard that large language models aren't really the answer for specialized clinical prediction tasks, right? That specialized models are better. But what if that's not actually true anymore? What if the goalposts have moved and we haven't noticed? So here's what the researchers did. They took a bunch of state-of-the-art large language models. We're talking DeepSeek R1, GPT-5, GPT-4o, and they benchmarked them head-to-head against conventional machine learning approaches and fine-tuned BERT-style models specifically trained on clinical data. And they tested this across different types of clinical prediction tasks. The first thing that really jumped out at me? The results on mortality prediction from clinical notes. This is fascinating because these are the unstructured, messy notes that doctors actually write. Zero shot, DeepSeek R, one hit 90, 75% AURoc. GPT-5 came in at 89, 75%. Now compare that to Gatortron, which is a BERT model specifically fine-tuned on clinical text. It got 87%. So you're talking about LLMs that haven't seen a single example from your training data, absolutely crushing a model that was purpose-built and specifically trained on clinical data. But here's where it gets more nuanced. When they looked at structured EHR data, you know, the tabular stuff with labs, vital signs, diagnoses, specialized deep learning models actually performed better when you had full training data available. So it's not like LLMs are good at everything. The story is more interesting than that. Now, where I think this really gets compelling is in the low data regime. Imagine you're implementing this in a hospital system, and you only have 10 examples. With just 10 examples, the advanced LLMs outperformed conventional models. That's a huge practical advantage because, let's be honest, getting labeled clinical data is expensive and time-consuming. There's another finding that I wasn't expecting. They looked at open-source LLMs like DeepSeek, and they're matching or beating proprietary models. DeepSeek actually outperformed GPT-5 on that mortality prediction task I mentioned. That's significant because it means you're not locked into paying OpenAI for good clinical predictions anymore. You can run open source models and get equivalent performance. That's a democratization story. The researchers also tried combining structured and unstructured data together, you know, throwing everything at the model. But here's the thing. Multimodal integration didn't consistently improve performance. In fact, clinical notes alone often gave you the strongest signal. That's worth paying attention to because it suggests that the text in those notes really does capture the clinically relevant information effectively. Now let's talk about what this actually means. The first implication is obvious. If you're a healthcare institution evaluating models for clinical prediction, you need to update your evaluation strategy. Modern LLMs aren't niche tools anymore. They're competitive, especially for unstructured data, and especially when you're in a zero-shot setting. But the researchers also did something really important. They had humans evaluate the reasoning behind the LLM predictions. This is crucial because in healthcare, we don't just care about getting the right answer. We care about understanding why the model said what it said. What they found was that the reasoning was generally high quality, but there were specific failure modes. Some false positives came from hallucinations, you know, when the model invents facts that aren't in the clinical note. False negatives were often driven by flawed clinical reasoning, where the model missed something important about how a condition progresses. Another thing that surprised me, the researchers looked at fairness across demographic attributes, age, gender, race. The zero-shot LLMs actually showed better fairness properties than conventional trained models. That's not something you'd necessarily expect, And it's a really encouraging finding because fairness in clinical prediction has been such a difficult problem. Here's what I think is the deeper insight, though. We've been operating under this assumption that domain-specific training is everything. That if you want a clinical model, you need clinical training data. And look, for structured EHR prediction with plenty of training data, that's still true. Specialized models still win. But the generalization capabilities of modern LLMs have gotten so good that they're competing in zero-shot scenarios. They're learning general patterns about language and reasoning that transfer to clinical tasks without any explicit clinical training. So what should you actually do with this information? First, if you're selecting models for clinical prediction, you need to consider modern LLMs as serious candidates, not afterthoughts. Second, don't assume you need specialized clinical models anymore. Evaluate based on your specific use case, your data situation, and your computational resources. Third, if you do use LLMs, invest in understanding their reasoning and their failure modes. That human evaluation they did in this paper? That's not a nice to have. That's essential before deployment. And finally, the prompt engineering angle is really interesting. The researchers found that prompt engineering can actually help with both reliability and bias mitigation. So this isn't just about choosing a model, it's about how you interact with it. Clinic Realm gives us permission, I think, to reconsider what's possible in clinical AI. We don't have to assume that open source models are inferior. We don't have to assume that zero-shot performance is weak. We need to evaluate rigorously, understand the failure modes, and then make informed decisions. That's the Clinic Realm takeaway.